If you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love and to me.
Our scripture lesson this morning is a familiar passage to you, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It's, of course, following at the in chapter 11 where the writer of Hebrews has talked about the ancestors in the faith. And then in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I remember being appointed to a particular church. I was not asked about my theological perspective. I was not asked about my approach to ministry. I kid you not. I was asked, do I like football? I kid you not, that was the most important question to them. My predecessor told his son that the parsonage was three doors up from the largest worship center in the county, the high school football field. Thank goodness I was able to honestly say yes. One of the most important facets of ministry in that town is attending the Friday night football games. I like football, but I got so sick and tired of seeing Friday night come. If it was cold, I was there. If it was hot, I was there. If it was raining, we were there. It was important to them. On the wall of the press box, the part that faced the parking lot, were recorded the high points of the school's football history, which included two records for consecutive wins, 31 in one stretch and 44 in the second. At the time we served there, in 40 years, they had played in 19 championship games, won 12 of them, which was in addition to four region titles, and in 23 of the 40 years, they had been in contention for state. When a young man puts on a uniform from that school and step onto the field, they do so in the shadow of champions. They are expected, not hoped, they are expected to win. Such is an enormous challenge. Yet, in that challenge is the motivation to play beyond one's ability. The author of Hebrews was attempting to encourage Christians during a time of persecution, attempting them to motivate them to keep the faith and not lose heart. To claim the name of Christian is to accept an enormous challenge, yet in that challenge is the motivation to live and serve beyond our abilities. The sources of challenge motivate us to serve Christ with everything we have, particularly in those times when we really want to give up. We serve and we stay faithful when we feel like quitting because of the goal that is set before us. And as we run in the shadow of the champions of the faith, we hear them cheering us on. They've crossed the finish line. And they cheer us to do the same thing so that we too may celebrate with them the final victory of Jesus Christ. Yet I wonder how many of those cheering us on are saddened by what they see. No football team wins if the team is not priority for each individual and the full effort of all involved is given. When practices and drills are grueling and bodies are aching and sick from heat and hits, one does not skip practice the next day because they're tired or it's inconvenient. In the midst of the game, the score is close, knuckles hurt, when the wind blows, not to mention striking another one's face mask, and the game is not postponed until the players feel better. Regardless, they give their all. In the shadow of champions, the team drives on until the final whistle blows. The author of Hebrews declares that the champions of the faith are cheering us on to pursue the high calling that God has given the church. Yet, in America, we have become so lax. The church is no longer a priority. If something more fun is offered, the church is put aside. If something more profitable arises, the church is put aside. If we are tired, the church is put aside. And yet we wonder and we moan and we groan and we whine why society has no moral base. Well, of course we know it's the public schools because they don't pray before class anymore. We know it's the social, we know it's the media because of the stuff that they put out. We know it's Washington. That's the problem. Or so we convince ourselves. We wonder why the church is no longer a stronger voice in society. Could it be that when the church is not priority among those who claim to be the members of it, we can't expect the church to carry any clout with those outside of it? Sometimes being a Christian is tough. Serving the Lord is not always convenient. But in reality, do we not accomplish that which we consider priority, which we consider important? Some have even gone so far as to assert that for the church to experience the influence it once had in society, we will once again have to suffer persecution. The pastor of an underground congregation in China told a group of visitors from America about the persecutions that they endure. Each time the congregation reaches 10 to 15 members, they split in order to reduce attention. They also alternate places of worship for the same reason. Since phone lines are monitored, members meet up with a volunteer on a downtown street to find out where the congregation will meet next. And I want you to hear this part coming up now. The pastor told them about one volunteer who was caught by the government. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was put in prison. He lost his job. He lost his house. He lost his medical benefits. The person who took his place suffered the same thing. One of the Americans listening said, "Well, I suppose you have difficulty filling that job." To which the Chinese pastor replied, "No, we have a waiting list." The cheering has been thunderous when such has occurred. No, I'm not saying that God or the cloud of witnesses rejoice in the persecution of the suffering of those who are in the game, but the cheering is for the love and the zeal and the dedication of the one that has literally given everything for Jesus. Contemplate with me a moment. I wonder what the congregation would look like whose members had the zeal of the persecuted and the freedoms we enjoy in America. God would do such through that congregation that we can't even imagine, we can't even dream, we've yet to even think about hoping for. In America, we are so blessed with freedom, yet church attendance has been declining for decades and continues. Some of the reasons were mentioned earlier, falling under the general umbrella of being too busy. But as a pastor for, is it 37 or 38 now? 38? A pastor of 38 years now. I've noticed a huge reason the church also struggles, and this one's going to sound to you like it's coming out of left field. Many church members feel persecuted by fellow church members because they are quick to get their feelings hurt. Our feelings get hurt when some person with no tact blurts out something negative about a ministry or project we poured our heart and soul into. Perhaps we felt strongly that God wanted a ministry to occur in our congregation, but when it was presented, it was shot down, or no one participated. The list is endless, but the truth is I'm too honest for my own good sometimes. The truth is, if you serve in the church, you're going to get your feelings hurt. That's a promise. Or there's going to be times when you feel you failed. The author of Hebrews instructed us to get rid of anything that slows us down from fully serving Jesus. What's slowing you down? Are you always busy? Somebody hurt your feelings? Did you pursue a ministry and you failed? Does remembering those instances weigh you down, hold you back? God is calling us to be like the farmer in the pear tree. A fierce storm swept through an orchard where the family farm had been for 6 generations. The storm blew down a pear tree that had been in the orchard longer than anyone, including the family, could remember. The farmer had climbed the tree as a boy and had eaten the pears from the tree all of his life, and so seeing that tree blown down, he grieved. A neighbor came by and told the farmer how sorry he was, and the farmer responded that he too was sorry to see a major part of his life destroyed. So the neighbor asked the farmer what he was going to do. The farmer paused for a moment and he said, "I'm going to pick the fruit and burn what's left." God is calling us to do the same thing. Take the past, celebrate the positive, learn from the negative, and move on. If we're nursing hurt feelings, if we are grieving failures, we do well to learn the lessons and toss the negatives aside, lightening our load, enabling us to run full speed for Jesus. You may have been in the game, running the race, but you're finding it hard to keep pace. You may have loved the Lord, you love the church, and have served the church with all of your heart, but you're tired. And it's hard to keep going. We find the drive by keeping our eyes on the goal. As you know, over the last couple of years, I've been trying to lose weight and get in the best shape I can. The journey's been a mixture of victories and frustrations. Eating right is always easy, and I don't always succeed. I try to go to the gym 5 to 6 days a week. I alternate between 16 upper body exercises, 2 sets of 10, except for 2 of them. I do 50 reps each. And then the other day, I do 7 leg exercises, 2 sets of 10. And I run about 2 to 2.5 miles on the elliptical. I don't always eat right. And the scale tells me the next morning. So do I quit? No. I try to do better the next day. Some mornings, I get up and I don't want to go. But thank goodness, part of the community of the faith, I have the community of the gym. There's a lady named Carolyn. She's going to want to know where I was if I don't show up. So I better show up or have a good excuse. And then I get to exercise. And man, some days I'm in the zone. Man, I'm doing it. I feel like the old Arnold Schwarzenegger. Man, I'm going to it. And then some days it's like, all right, get this set. Then think about the next set. And then about halfway through, do the next rep. Don't think about sets. When it's on the elliptical, it gets to the point where it's not get in 2 miles, it's do one more step. Then another step. Until you make it. See, the point I'm making is I've got a goal in mind. I've still got about 10 pounds I want to go. And even when I make that goal, I want to be the toughest old codger in the gym. And so the goal is always in front of me. And so even when I think I'm crazy myself, I keep on pushing. The church is running in the shadow of champions. Some are being called to finally get in the race. You've been watching long enough. Some are being called to get back in the race. You got tired, you went and sat on the bench. It's time to get back in the game. Some of you have been slacking off because you're tired. It's time to dig in and pick up the pace. We're all called, being called to keep our eyes on the goal so we don't lose heart and we don't give up. And through Christ's strength, we keep on pushing. When those teams won the championships, all of the grueling practices and all the pain faded into the background in the midst of the jubilation and the celebration of the victory. Can you picture the celebration in heaven? Can you try? When Jesus says, way to go! Oh, no, well done. Today's disappointment. Today's struggle will fade into nothingness as we celebrate with the champions who went before us and cheered us on, and now we celebrate with them. Man, what a day that's going to be. Are you busy? Are you tired? Are you distracted? Keep your eyes on the goal of heaven's celebration and hear the cheers of past champions of the faith, and let us run with everything we've got. We're running in the shadow of the champions of the past. Let us keep our eyes on the goal that will be the champions of the faith today. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, through Jesus, you walk this earth. You know how easy it is to become frustrated. You know how easy it is to become distracted. You know how easy it is to get tired. And so, Lord, you know each of us in this room, including the one that tried to deliver this message. Probably all of us face something that tries to hold us back. So, gracious Lord, we just pray that we would come back up to you and say, put me in, coach. Put me in. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to run for you. And I know that your spirit is going to be with me in every single play. So gracious Lord, we offer ourselves to you this morning. Pray that we might have the zeal of the persecuted in the freedoms that we enjoy, that you might do more through us than we've yet to even ask or imagine. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.